Hi, and welcome to Leap, a podcast series by Startup Lifers. Startup Lifers is a not-for-profit organization that connects emerging Nordic talent with startup jobs in the San Francisco Bay Area and also elsewhere, as you'll see in this episode. I'm your host, Pauliina Alanen, and today I'm here with Antonio. Antonio works as a software engineer at Elevate Labs, and he works in a remote setup. And we'll hear in this episode about his life working in the remote setup and what he thinks about the remote work as a software engineer in general. Welcome to the show, Antonio.
Hi, Pauliina. Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you. So could you start with like a quick introduction? Who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do in general?
Sure. So I'm Antonio, originally from Italy. I studied in Finland, and now I live in France, working as an iOS software engineer at Elevate Labs, a fully distributed US-based mental fitness startup, where I work on the brain training app Elevate, winner of the Apple App of the Year Award in 2014. Previously, I completed my master's degree in ICT innovation in a double degree program between Politecnico di Milano in Italy and Aalto University in Finland.
Okay, very cool. So I assume that when you studied in Aalto University, you somehow heard about Startup Lifers and then got the job at Elevate Labs, which is US-based, somehow from there. So could you elaborate on that story a little bit? How did you get that job through Startup Lifers?
I heard about Startup Lifers at Slush, a startup event in Helsinki at the end of 2019. So I was looking for an internship for my master thesis. And despite being warned that in the US it's difficult to land a job as a thesis worker, I decided to apply anyway, because landing a job in the Silicon Valley was my greatest dream. So Startup Lifers helped me connect with Elevate Labs for a position as an iOS software engineering intern. After going through the interview process, they agreed to help me write a thesis during my internship, and I accepted the offer.
Oh, that sounds great that you actually got the position to also work on your thesis, which is, of course, something you would need at the end of your studies. So that was your master's thesis then?
Exactly.
Okay, that's great. So Elevate Labs is based in San Francisco, and eventually you came to San Francisco and lived there for about half a year. But then, as I understood from our previous conversation, the pandemic hit the world and your company, as well as many others, had to go into fully remote mode. So could you tell a little bit about that? So when did you go to San Francisco and how was the whole transition into working fully remotely? And also you ended up in France.
Yeah, so I arrived in San Francisco in the beginning of March 2020, exactly when many of the world's leaders decided to put their countries in a lockdown to limit the spread of COVID-19. So just a few days before my starting date, I received an email from the company telling me that everybody would start work from home and that I would be onboarded remotely. And I took this news with a bit of disappointment, but as everyone, I was hoping that things would go back to normal in a few weeks, you know. Right from the beginning, everybody put a lot of efforts into trying to make this new way of working ideal. So they introduced new ways of communicating and sharing social activities in the company. Eventually, we all started to look at the benefits of remote work, even independently from the development of the pandemic. So employees were happy they didn't have to commute for hours every day. And they noticed that they had more time for their hobbies or to spend with their family. And on the other side, the company was also looking at the big potential savings from office expenses. So when people received the survey asking how many days a week they would have liked to spend at home as opposed to the office, everybody agreed that working from home was just the best choice. So the company gave away the office and used the money saved to help us getting better equipment and furniture for our own home office. And that's what eventually helped me getting the job from France which allowed me to be closer to my girlfriend.
Oh, so your girlfriend was in France and that's the reason why you moved there?
Exactly.
Okay. So has Elevate Labs then taken the decision that from now on they will be fully remote, like everyone, not just during the pandemic, which is still in February 2021 going on? Are you still going to continue this way after the pandemic is over?
Yes, this is a permanent decision. And everybody is now onboarded remotely, works fully remotely. The company is seeing the benefits of doing things this way. Many people are now being hired from Canada, from Brazil, from other states in the US. There's still a limit on hiring outside of the Americas because of trying to have some hours of overlap with the American time zones. But at the same time, some existing employees like me are allowed to later move to Europe or to other countries while at the same time shifting hours to have some overlap with people that are still in San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess this situation has shown to many companies the benefits of kind of being fully global and then also not being restricted into certain areas where like the cost of living or salary expectation might be like unnecessary high or just lack of talent in a certain region. So yeah, sounds like a smart decision you made at Elevate Labs. I'm also interested in general about the company. So how many people are you more or less? And I guess you're a startup. So are you like in which stage of your growth at the moment?
I would say that we're in a medium stage of growth. So we're about 50 people at the moment and growing at a fast pace since a couple of years when the company got its Series B round and launched a new meditation app, Balance. So at the moment, Elevate and Balance are the products that the company is using to create a brand that could establish itself as a leading brand in the mental fitness sector.
Okay. And is the mental fitness sector, is it more about your mental health or is it also about like just improving your mental stamina, like through meditation and controlling your mind with like mindfulness and things like that?
I would say both. So what we're trying to do is to tap into a space of mental fitness that is getting more and more importance through the years, and especially now with the pandemic, many people have started to realize how they really need products to help them cope with stress and cope with the difficulties that the pandemic is bringing and to be cognitively healthy every day, which is something that probably before didn't have as much attention. So we're trying to look at what happened in a few decades ago with companies that decided to add something to the world of physical fitness, like Adidas, Nike. They all came in a world that wasn't paying much attention to physical fitness, where people were not going so much to the gym, you know? And then they made people realize that making something about their physical fitness was important. And then they created an empire out of it. We're trying to do the same with mental fitness now. So we're trying to enter the market with these two products. But eventually we hope that the market will get bigger and people will be more willing to pay for this kind of products. And we want to be pioneers in the sector.
Yeah, thanks for elaborating on that. And that is for sure one industry which has, like you said, gotten a lot more attention thanks to the pandemic in Finland. I don't know if you're aware, but there was also this situation with data security breach at a mental health organization earlier last year. And in Finland, at least, mental health and the fact that everyone should take care of their own mental stamina and well-being. That definitely has raised a lot last year and sounds to me like your company is definitely tapping into something that's like a growing field. So very, very interesting to follow on your company then in the future. Then if we go into your work life in general, it's probably interesting to our listeners to hear about like the practical aspect. So in a remote company, you work with people from different time zones, and you said you still have some like a bit larger part of the team in the San Francisco Bay Area and some other international locations too. So how is the team and your closest teammates? How do you connect with your closest colleagues?
Yes, so many people at the company are still in San Francisco or more generally in the Bay Area. And this makes California, let's say, the center of our operations, even in a fully distributed model, which means that right now, new hires come from the Americas. Some existing employees are allowed to go in other continents, but there's still the policy of having those 4 or 5 hours a day of overlap with Pacific time so that collaboration can happen easily with most of the company that is still there and works 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. usual hours. So for communication tools, we use what probably everybody uses, a mix of email, Slack, Zoom, or Google Docs, depending on the level of visibility required by a particular message.
All right. Then about the remote work still, did you already have these tools, like the digital tools you just mentioned, set up prior to COVID? And were some people already working like full-time remotely before the pandemic happened?
Yes, so about 15 to 20% of the employees were already remote in other states of the US before the pandemic, which means that the company was already using a lot tools like Slack and Zoom to collaborate with them. For sure, the model has changed a lot since these people that were working remotely before the pandemic were sometimes feeling a little out of the conversation, because many people were maybe attending a meeting from the office and they were the one or the two persons being remote in the conversation. And now with this fully distributed setting, there is a greater attention and trying to make these tools really succeed and helping everybody tap in a conversation in a seamless way.
Yeah. Then how about now that you are in a fully remote mode for forever, I guess, now that you made the decision, what kind of good practices have you taken up in your company? Like some fully remote teams, they still try to meet in a physical way, like in a workation. Companies like Webflow, for instance, that have a fully remote, pretty big team, they do this? Or do you have some kind of like other social activities or practices that you have found nice in your company?
Yes, so we try to have a mix of both. We have a lot of virtual social activities that help us connect more often, like every 2 or 3 weeks with all hands socials. For example, the one we have tomorrow, we will all learn how to make boba tea, which is something mm-hmm. very fun. And we have also a donut app on Slack that pairs people to connect on one-on-ones from time to time. Especially, it helps connecting people that usually are not on the same team. I don't know, an engineer with a designer or with a customer support agent, which wouldn't usually meet for work meetings. But then, as long as the pandemic goes away, there is the intention to meet, as you said, 3 or 4 times a year. So the company's gonna fly everybody to a physical location, probably San Francisco or probably in other ones as the company grows, so that we can still create some bonds in a physical meeting, in a physical setting, at least a few times a year.
Yeah, the boba tea sounds like a really fun activity. Do you have the material home then, or are you just gonna see that somebody makes it?
Oh, no, the company has a lot of attention to this kind of activities. So every time there is something set up, they make sure you have everything you need to have fun with the activity. In this case, they shipped us a boba tea preparation kit a few weeks before so that we could have everything we needed. We could take a look at the instructions. And it's a bit like this for each of these activities, where they try to make you in the position where you can just have fun, which I think is really important, because sometimes with the remote setting, you may be a bit reluctant to join virtual social activities. And instead, they try to stress the importance of these to help create connections.
Yeah, and that sounds like a really fun way to kind of still do something together, even though you are not physically in the same room. My company, we also here in Finland, we had this gingerbread tasting in our Christmas party, which was of course also fully remote this year. And although it was like a bit like a kind of stupid activity, like tasting different gingerbreads, but it was still very fun. So yeah, I really like those kind of things. I like creating something fun with the team, which is like not work related as well. Then if we go a little bit, you mentioned earlier about the position that you in particular had this hope that you would find a position for your thesis. And of course, since it's a master's thesis, might be something that's not so well known in the US. Like, what are you really looking after if you look for thesis position? So could you share to our listeners about like how you managed to kind of make this happen at your company Elevate Labs?
Yeah, in the US, it's true that they don't really have a thesis in their master's degrees. So when you land a job as an intern, you get paid and trained very well to do your job, but that rarely involves doing research like you would do for a thesis. However, at Elevate Labs, they guaranteed they would help me find a good topic. They gave me access to all the data I needed. And eventually, our product manager helped me choose the topic of user onboarding in mobile applications, which was connected to a lot of work I was doing as an iOS engineer on the Elevate app. Of course, most of the research and writing had to happen at weekends, but the company offered me all the tools I needed to do a great work. So to all of our listeners, I would say just try to communicate your needs to the company and you will find the right trade-off.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And often like clearly communicating what you're actually like looking after and what does it mean for the company to help you through this. That is the difficult part. And it's great that there are companies out there that kind of see these like straight from school hires like valuable enough that then you got this chance to work with Elevate Labs and research on something that's like actually concrete and helps them, and then you also could continue working there. So that is really great. Well, you now live in France, so is the remote work common there? Like, do you have some other contacts or friends that are working in a similar setting like you are?
Not really. So I have friends and fellow developers that I talk to that work across Europe, in Italy, in France, in Finland. These are the main places where I know colleagues, since they are the places where I lived and studied. And when I talk to them, they see my situation of working purely remote and with a pretty flexible time schedule as pretty unique for them. So most of them are temporarily working from home, but will be required to go back to an office whenever it's possible. And most importantly, many are in companies that still work in a clock-in, clock-out fashion, where you're rewarded more for the time you spend on a task than for the outcome of your work, which is something that I think doesn't really apply to tech products and tech companies. And I've seen some European companies trying to move in the direction of a hybrid model that allows for more work-life balance. but probably many of them have still a lot to learn from the Silicon Valley way of managing employees in tech companies.
Yeah, I think you're right. And well, I work in like a creative field, like in communications and marketing and design. So I think in that sense, just like what you said about rewarding for the time, it doesn't really match that type of creative work. And I think in any problem solving in engineering, it's the same. Like you might think about a problem during the workday and then come up with no solution. But then when you take a shower, like in the evening, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, now
that's
I see.
True.
So then you actually kind of do the most impactful piece of your work somewhere completely out of your like working schedule. So it doesn't really make sense to have this clock in, clock out type of mentality anymore.
I would like to add that we're still anchored to this models of managing people in the industry that are coming from the age of mechanical jobs. So, you know, when you were working in a factory 50 years ago on a car and you had to put the same piece in the same part of the car during all your work time, then it was okay to reward your time because you were doing the same thing over and over again without putting any creative effort in it. But as you said, when you then move to a creative setting, that just doesn't make any sense anymore.
Yeah, you're right. And it's good to see that also this remote work phenomenon has kind of accelerated the understanding of like, okay, how do we need to value the impact like or the work of our employees and kind of think about new ways of also valuing that, but then also seeing the contribution of the employees in that sense. Well, I think we have still time for a couple of questions. So this second last one is a very practical one, which often we try to get some questions for this podcast from the people that consider applying for Startup Lifers and getting a startup job somewhere, either in San Francisco or then now they are, of course, in this remote mode, all of them. So very practical question that often is raised among these people who want to apply. So since you're an Italian citizen, but you live in France and work for an American company, could you tell me about the contracting part? So do you work like as a freelancer? And then how does that affect then your salary, like in terms of currency and then some other practicalities if you have to share about like vacation policy or health insurance of your company?
Yeah, sure. This is a topic that creates a lot of questions on both sides. So when I was transitioning from my internship to my full-time position at Elevate and coming back from the US to France, we had a lot of discussions ongoing from both sides because we were not experts at all. And well, we came to the conclusion that since the American company I work for doesn't have an entity outside of the US, the only way they could employ me was as a contractor, even mm-hmm. though they internally then treat me by all means as an employee. So they pay me time off, they give me benefits such as stocks or other kind of benefits for any other US employee. But then on the practical side, I had to start my own individual company in the country where I'm fiscally resident and where I pay taxes, which is Italy. And I get paid through a platform that converts my salary from US dollars to euro. And regarding the health insurance, well, in the US, they have a totally different model than over here. So here, since I'm a US citizen, I simply use my Italian health card. In other countries of the EU, and France is one of these, to get the same services as local residents. The company agreed to help me with some differences between this system and their own. So they are willing to pay me extra if needed. But for the moment, I'm just using the well-structured, I'd say, system for travelers in the EU.
Well, sounds to me like you, despite having to be like, to have your own company, you kind of still are able to tap on this like kind of employee experience and have like some of those same benefits. That's nice. So time for our last question, which will be on the theme of this second season of this Leap podcast. So the remote work. And what do you think, Antonio, about its future? So is it here to stay, or what other thoughts do you have about it now that you have worked for, what is it, half a year fully remotely?
Almost a year. And yes, I think it will stay. I think it changed the way that both companies and workers approach their job. It's helping workers find a better work-life balance, and companies have now access to a greater pool of talent at reduced costs. So I think this will make people move away from big and expensive cities like I've seen happening in San Francisco itself, and consequently help redistribute work opportunities out of just a few cities or a few countries. And maybe in a few years, people like me will not need to say goodbye to their family and fly to the other side of the world to build their career.
Yeah, exactly. So now you can be closer to your family in Italy and then also live with your girlfriend there in Paris, France. That's great. Well, I think, Antonio, it's time for me to thank you for being on this show today and for sharing your story. I think it's very interesting and a great example for some of the people who want to have a similar situation like you, either as an engineer or a designer or a marketer or whatsoever. So thanks.
Thank you so much to you. It was really nice to talk about remote work and its consequences and how it's changing the way we approach our careers. I hope that many people can learn useful things from our conversation.
I'm confident they will. So that's it for Leap this time, and thank you for listening. If you want to hear more stories like Antonio's here, you can catch the new episodes released on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to apply for a startup jobs, either in Silicon Valley or somewhere else, probably remotely at the moment, you should go to startuplifers.org and check out the open positions or just get in touch with the team. Thank you, and until next time.